You're listening to Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Let's go!
G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. I'm your host for this one, Scotty Poynton, and I'm joined by regular co-host Felix Filippo and somewhat regular co-host Son Efinai. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Give us some verbal there.
Yeah,
a thumbs up is shabby, no good, mate. On the podcast. Legend. All right, of course, we've got the Rugby Championship taking place at the moment, so that is on the agenda tonight. Two games in the fold here, the Wallabies versus the Springboks and the All Blacks versus the Pumas. I want to start off quickly with the Wallabies and the Springboks. Wallabies took this game 25-17. The score doesn't quite reflect the dominant performance put in by the Wallabies, and it's you know, something we've been talking about for a little while now. They've been blooding in a lot of young new players over the last couple of years, and they're really starting to blossom now in the likes of Noah Lolesio. I'll throw his name out there. Gosh, even a Fraser McWright put his hand up with the absence of Michael Hooper. 2 tries, 5 tackles and a turnover. Can't ask for much more from your seven. But boys, who caught that massive defensive effort from Kurabeti? Does anyone want to take us through that, Felix?
You want to talk about a guy who's renowned for scoring these crazy tries, being a massive offensive threat. And
yeah.
I feel like we've been waiting for a game like this where he shows us the full package, not just making the defensive effort, but did you see the way he was chasing just about every kick? Wingers these days are defined more so not just about scoring those length of the field tries and breaking the defensive lines like he normally does, but can you get back on there? Can you compete in the air? And Kurabeti answered all those questions, scored a meat pie himself, and I just have to say, after that performance going up against the current world champions, that he's perhaps the best winger in the world. Sonny, am I too far away from that statement? Is that outrageous, or you think the same thing?
I think you have had too many drugs for one night, mate.
What?
Calling early on, mate. And I wouldn't say, personally, one of the best wingers, I reckon, in the world right now. He's definitely on form, though, but just love to see a winger run with purpose, eh? And that's what Marika showed on the weekend. He's just light feet. And man, he's so strong. It's unbelievable. You don't find really strong wingers like that with amazing pace. So now, big up to Marika over the weekend, man.
Hard out. Made a rock, that guy, I reckon. The one part I was loving about it was just the passion they were showing after those big plays. You know, everyone was in a G'd up, pumping the chest, like the emotion in their faces. It just shows that they're really playing with a lot of confidence and belief in their system. And gosh, that's something that we're not quite seeing from the All Blacks at the moment. I'm going to say it. I'm going to throw it out there. But no, Dave Rennie's doing a fantastic job with that team. And guys, keep an eye out for this Wallaby side, eh? All right, I think we should. That's enough. I didn't want to dive too long on the Wallabies because, you know, it's a Kiwi Roots Rugby podcast, so we should talk about the All Blacks and focus on that. We'll brush them aside for now. I'm sure we'll come across the Wallabies later on. All Blacks versus Pumas, 25-18 to the Pumas at Orange Theory Stadium in Christchurch. A game that I think we all thought the Pumas couldn't win. It was impossible. If you're looking at previous stats and perhaps going off the previous All Blacks performance, looks like we're on the up. But unfortunately, not to be. A big loss in the bag. Another one for Foster. That's 6 out of 8 matches now. And certainly a win that, you know, we really needed because he just got given the job to the next bloody World Cup. And he goes and does that. You know, he's talked a lot about consistency, but the only consistency we've seen is consistent bloody losses at the moment. But let's just talk about some of these new accolades that he's added to his CV. Now, first loss to Argentina on home soil. Well done, Fozzie. First time in 119 years, New Zealand have lost 3 consecutive matches at home. Michael Checker's first time beating the All Blacks. Michael Checker is like the rugby version of Donald Trump, eh? He says it how it is, likes to stir the pot, create a bit of controversy. I love watching him in his interviews. And just a massive win for young Pablo, or maybe not young, but old Pablo Matera on his temporary stomping ground for the previous year playing for the Crusaders. Not great, right? Now, the other thing before we dive into the nitty-gritty detail, boys, I need you to join in with me here. It's going to be a surprise, but I think you'll be able to figure it out, okay? There's only one way to start this segment. Hey, boys, how high-pitched was that bloody anthem on the weekend? I was worried for her. I didn't know she was going to make it.
I honestly thought someone was taking the mickey. Someone got punched on the balls before the national anthem started singing it.
Someone in the control room may just set the pitch, just gave the singer a hospital pass. So she's like, "You deal with it, mate."
I thought it was like a young 14-year-old at school choir singing it. Puberty. One of those guys, man. Oh man,
that was almost the beginning of the end, right there. The warning signs were on the wall, from the first note to the last. Holy hicka!
You sound like her a little bit, mate. Do it again.
Oh, this guy. That's my falsetto, though. That's as high as I can go, right? You got me. All right, let's get into the nitty gritty, mate. The All Blacks. Felix, can you start us off, mate? Where the hell did they go wrong in this one? What's going on here?
I think the bench and the changes that were made in the second half were perhaps the downfall of this team. Stereotypically, the All Blacks are the team that could make those changes in the 50th and 60th minute mark and then elevate the game to a level that we hadn't seen in the first half. What's interesting about this game is Argentina kept it close. They even took the lead at one stage, but I had hoped for the experienced All Blacks to come on in the second half and make an impact and really just pull away from the Argentinians. But that didn't happen. They lacked creativity. There was no real punch. The set piece started falling apart. I was thinking this is not a stereotypical bench. They're just not playing how they're supposed to. And I don't know why that is, because they were the experienced crowd. I was quite happy with how the starters played. It was just a really odd game where we needed some punch and we didn't get it from our reserves. What did you think, Sonny?
Yeah, start of the game, I thought that All Blacks were doing awesome in the first half, just punching into their defense. And a lot of the time in the first half, the Argentina team looked tired. They looked they looked like they're going to give up in the second half. And then second half came and we subbed off. Our front row was off in the 44th minute, and just didn't go well from there. Well, like Felix said, set piece went down. We didn't make a plan with that set piece. There was no plan B. We were just sticking to plan A the whole time without changing it. So, I'm a firm believer. If something's not working, then don't stop doing it. Do something else, you know. But there was just nothing on after that plan A. So, well done to Argentina. But you just need our bench players to step up more. And personally, I think at first five, that's still up for grabs, eh? Bodie Barrett, Richie Maunga, there's still a 50-50 chance on who's gonna take that jersey for the next few games. So, interesting.
Speaking. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. You're live, mate. You're live.
Yeah. Speaking of Richie Mong, it was so weird for him to be so inaccurate off the tee in his home ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got those penalties, conversions. We're probably not such a tight game in that second half when we need to bring on those subs. But, yeah, you're right. In a game where he could have easily just elevated his case to being the standout 10 for good, he took us like half a step back, maybe more steps back for that competition in the number 10 jersey. It's weird, man.
Mm. Talking about Mong, you mentioned about those missed kicks. We left 8 points on the park, one conversion and two penalties. But it almost like was the story of his game from the very beginning. Did you see that very first cross kick he did? He tried to put a bomb up and it almost just went sideways instead of actually going forward. But he took that so casually. Yeah, I was like, what's this? I don't know. Is he too casual here? Maybe he was just trying to relax into the game. But it's very much an off game from his behalf. But if we carry on from that theme, though, of inaccuracies, I mean, you've already talked about the bench. Firstly, that front row that came on in the 44th minute, what is the point in that, eh? Because the whole team's just had a break of about 15, 20 minutes, and then to put them on the park for 4 minutes only, wouldn't you just put them on from the beginning of halftime?
Yeah.
It seems like a bit of a waste, eh? I don't know. You know, hold them out for at least 30 to go and let them go hard for 30. I'm sure that front row could have had more of an impact, particularly in that last part of that game where Cody Taylor missed that crucial line out. And we were looking good, right? We already scored a try from a set piece more, 5 meters out. We were in for all money. Anyway, that bloody defensive effort from David Kidwell and his Pumas was, again, you mentioned it, Sonia, when you were talking. We only had plan A. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we only did about 4 offloads in this whole game. So it seemed like we were just trying to do the same thing, punch, punch, punch with the forwards. But we keep making that wrong decision when it came time to go out the back, or there was really nothing on. It was really weird. But the way I looked at that is, you know, we're doing these forward runners. We're not giving any offloads. So as a defender, you know they're going to go to ground. So you can just fan out and reset your defense just that little bit quicker. Not only that, the Pumas defense, when they were making tackles, did you guys notice that they were lying all over our ball on our side of the ruck and just really milking that and slowing to making our guys jump over them, move around them, or just holding guys in for that split second, just giving that chance for that defense to actually reset? What do you guys think they could have done better there? Do you see any opportunities? Maybe Sonny, you're the back here in this discussion. What would you have done, mate, at first five?
I think when they did do plays, the decoy runners weren't running with a purpose as well. They were just—they're looking like they're just running, doing it at training, you know. But if you want to be a decoy runner, you got to run with purpose to suck in defenders. But when you're not sucking any defenders in, it just makes it hard for the guys out wide. That's why a lot of the time they're just running it straight. Rico Ioane and Jordy Barrett, most of the time they got the ball, they couldn't do anything. They just ran straight because the defense was already drifting. So a lot more basics, just 1-2 cuts, keep it in the midfield and then earn to go out wide. I think trying to play too much, but just got to sometimes basics is the best game plan, eh? It was a hard game to watch, to be fair.
The second half certainly was. I mean, why didn't they just go wide when they were playing the Springboks, they were sort of attacking on that, I guess you can call it that C channel. You know, you got the A, B, C on the ruck. They were sort of attacking on that third channel and then using that little pop ball to an off runner there, you know, creating a bit of space or even hitting shoulders on the angle. To get through over the advantage line. There was none of that. It was a lot of just straightforward running, almost T-boning into the defense. But I mean, these are not small Argentinian boys, right? Trying to muscle up with them. Why would you do it the hard way? You're right, Sonny. Get some decoy runners, put them in two minds, hit on the angles. I don't know. I sound like I'm a bloody couch coach, but
we all watch enough rugby. We all are.
Hey, it's so bloody easy. Why aren't they winning? what do you think about Dave Kidwell's defense, Felix? Is it pure genius, or should the All Blacks be employing our own bloody league expert? Seems to be everybody's going down that path.
Oh, Kidwell definitely put the poo in the ma, didn't he?
I saw that one out there.
But like, you know, it just goes to show that if someone from outside the sport can bring in different principles to a game of rugby union and have such an impact against arguably one of the best sides in world rugby, that in itself suggests that perhaps the problem isn't solely on the All Blacks players. It isn't solely on the All Blacks coaches, but rather sort of like an attacking philosophy that we've been holding on to for a very, very long time, and that it almost comes across as a little bit arrogant that the All Blacks are going to beat you out wide. We can craft all these exotic offensive plays with flankers such as Adi Savea and Akira Ioane. We've got the ball handling skills. We'll just focus on offense because we'll break you down eventually. We get pigeonholed into being this massive world rugby attacking threat that we force our opposition to focus purely on stopping everything that we can do offensively. And when they do that, and when Kidwell comes along and manages to do that with an Argentinian team, the All Blacks look like they don't have a plan B or a plan C. Then what are these things that they fall back on? And it's been a saga that's been drawn out like for a very long time, and we've just been waiting for players to step up. Yes, they've made changes in the coaching office, but I would have thought that there's enough brain power and enough athleticism for these guys to bring out something new. And after a massive win in South Africa, they'll double down on those efforts and reaffirm these thoughts that the All Blacks are back in town and still considered one of the world's best. Kidwell deserves all the plaudits that he's getting for taking a largely unknown Argentinian side, flipping them into the defensive workhorses that he showed last weekend. I'm very worried that this weekend in Hamilton, that they might just build on that and show us more of their offensive skill set that they've got. And if they do that and the All Blacks have the same game that they had last weekend, then, man, we're in for a hell of a ride.
Hard out, bro. Hard out. You touched on two points there. When it comes to David Kidwell, and, you know, I mentioned the All Blacks need at least one of our coaches or some of them going out there to gather that intel from other sports, because that breeds creativity, right? You're getting ideas. Yeah. You know, how can I flip that around? And the likes of Mike Cron was doing that through a lot of his coaching career. Who's in charge of the Wayne Smith does a lot of that as well. Cross codes, sort of learning. I think even Graham Henry was doing it. Yeah. We need to be doing something like that just to reinvent what we're doing and stop taking old methods into these games, or what, like we've talked about, one-dimensional play into these games, because it's clearly evident we need three or four different options in a game. The way when I was thinking about this prior to the pod, I was like, you know, what did we see there that David Kidwell brought? And I was thinking that those guys that come from league, they are the masters of line speed and slowing that ball down, that ruck ball. And those are the two things that we saw from them. The line speed, shutting down the All Blacks attack, putting them in two minds, forcing errors. and slowing that ball down, because those are two things you need in rugby league, right? To get your defense back 10 and reset and move forward again. So, yeah, masterstroke from young Kidwell there.
Yeah, he was a man, eh?
Hard out. And I miss watching him play league. I don't watch league anymore because he's gone. People like him. Anyway, side note. What about the discipline, Sonia? What do you think about discipline? A lot of, obviously, a lot of points for the Pumas came from goal kicking. A lot of offsides. Yeah. Poor ball protection again. We moved back to a lot of penalties drawn from holding onto the ball. Montoya was genius in that department again. Bad decision making. You know, Frizzell's yellow card that was blatantly from the side. When you go back and watch the replay, what does that stem from? Those kind of, is it pressure, you think, or from defense?
Yeah, it's so we got a lot of. Man, we got a lot of penalties against us on Saturday. It was just unreal. A lot of our penalties were just silly mistakes. Most of them were all silly mistakes. Some of them were unlucky. Some guys couldn't roll away, but a lot of them were blowing over from the side, pinning out from the side. And that top level, we can't afford to be doing that 5-6 times a game, you know? Surely, yeah. It's just, yeah, like I said, it's just a lot of things that we need to work on. In terms of decision making, a lot of people are blaming Cody Taylor for losing us that game. But in all fairness, we could have won that game flipping, you know,
three times over.
And what hurts more is that, to be honest, hey, if Richie McCaw was captain, he would have went for those penalties. Kieran Reid was captain, he would have went for the penalties, taking the free. And it's just basic, hey. Always take the points when they're an offer. Even if it's 15 minutes to go, you got to take the points, man.
Right, it's so obvious, like these days, eh? Like if you build scoreboard pressure, that forces teams to throw the ball around and try stuff. Because how many times in the game now?
It automatically switches momentum. If you get three points on the board, momentum shifts. So
yeah,
you know, we need as a captain, Sam Kane. I think we need to look at taking the penalties more. Follow what Richie did for 15 years. Damn it. But that's what I saw. Just poor decisions.
Yeah.
And just a lot of work on today, just the little things, clearing rucks and but once we get that sorted, then we can focus on playing running rugby. We couldn't play running rugby with all these penalties. So.
Yeah. I was thinking actually, because this is something they could have solved throughout the game, but why didn't they recognize sooner that Buffelli was gonna kick from anywhere? Even from the 50 metres, 20 metres to the left or to the right. So why weren't we starting to kick for territory more and just try to stay out of our half? I mean, it was clearly obvious we couldn't not give away a penalty to save ourselves in our own half. So let's try to stay out of there as much as possible, force them to make the error and reduce that possibility of them actually getting a goal kick away and scoring points. Because he nailed them from memory. I think he hit 100% of his kicks. But, I mean, we'd have a better chance on stealing one of their lineouts, wouldn't we? We did that against the best in South Africa 2 weeks ago. Why aren't we thinking like that, you know? I don't know. But I will
say. Couch.
Yeah, mate. Oh, I've had enough of this podcast now. I'm wrapping up now. My hair's falling out. Bloody hell. We should actually point that out, actually, as something that Argentina did really well in the end. They played that to their advantage. They just kept the scoreboard ticking over, and maybe Chicken knew that, you know, there'll be one opportunity in the game outside of those goal kicks. You've got to take it. Gonzalez scored off that mistake off the kick early in the second half, and that was the ticket they needed just to get them that little bit of buffer to win them the game. So kudos for them for sticking to that game plan in all honesty. And is that Michael Checker again? His masterstroke. I'm sure he'll be loving that. And I was actually loving. Did you guys see the aftermatch interview with Checker in the media, and him giving giving a little bit of stick here and there about, firstly, one of the media folk asked him about Foster claiming that, you know, the dirty tactics of the Pumas lying all over the ruck on the other side. And he just goes back and goes, oh, well, they should know all about it because they do it all the time. The All Blacks are the masters at it. So go and ask him, which was pretty funny. And then he was throwing shade around how good Pablo Matera is now after being under Scott Robinson. And I was like, yo, let's go. So that's why I was calling him the Donald Trump of rugby, international rugby. We've talked about the defense. We can't shy away from that one. We've given them the props there. But boys, did you see a bit of mana in them after two tries in the first 30? But what do you think that is here? Is this confidence? Is this just a team that's been growing, or are they just young, naive, and rolling with the punches? What do you think, Felix? Like, what are you seeing different out of this Puma side, this rugby championship versus others?
Boy, what one win does to a national side. We saw this with Ireland back in, what was it, 2016, that win in Chicago, and just the historical confidence that they were able to breed from that. Argentina had their time in the sun against the All Blacks, was it last year or the year before? And that was a huge emotional moment for them. Not only that, most of those players were still playing last weekend, and just not having, I don't know, that fear that the All Blacks are going to get over you in the 60th minute mark, to just hold onto your horses and that you're going to get your opportunities, because, you know, 1 through 15, that Argentinian side looked like they were out to sense blood, and they certainly got it. It's just crazy what these teams are able to do when they just get one win over the All Blacks. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah. Michael Checker talked about that, actually. Again, in the aftermatch, he talked about confidence. You win one game, win two games, and all of a sudden there's just this ultimate aura or confidence and belief amongst the side. And he talked about, you know, turning that winning into a habit, really. Yeah. And you know, you win one game, but then following it up the next week. And so they're looking so good leading into this next World Cup. Another dark horse. Hate to say it, there's so many dark horses. Oh, Jesus. Okay, what do the All Blacks do? Hey?
They're on the favourable side of the tournament tree, though, eh? It's them in Australia and Pool C, I think.
Ah, so they've got a good chance of making quarters,
They'll definitely make quarters. Yeah, for sure. They'll definitely make quarters. And then on the other side of that tournament tree is, I think it's England and Japan, I think it was. And Samoa.
England, Samoa, yeah.
You know, Samoa's going to make it to the quarters. Come on, guys, get up.
All right, we can't be too down on the All Blacks. Sona, let's talk about what they did well. Great haka. What do you think?
Great haka.
Bro. Is that the only positive we got to celebrate?
Haka. Nah. Their fourth still looked pretty good, right? There was some consistency there from previous games. Like, it wasn't the perfect outing. You really talked about the second half woes, but jeepers, that first 30, scrum was looking good. I think we even got a couple of scrum penalties. There, we had that really good maul going. We were dominating there, winning our set piece. So are you happy with how the forwards are tracking, at least?
Yep, definitely. The scrum went well the first half. They're so strong. I think we won nearly every scrum in the first half. Beats the reason why you'd sub off a great scrum off in the early in the second half. So not sure what was going on there, but scrum was great. We were winning our lineouts early on. As I said, the forwards were punching through that defense in the first half. So it was awesome to see those boys running it hard, getting them more tired. Yeah, I think that was a standout. The forwards, the backs for me, they didn't really stand out. I think Rico had an average game. Nothing really could do. Besides that, we were awesome under the high ball, though.
Yeah.
I think Will Jordan and Jordy did awesome under the high ball, so...
He set up that great try off the that second try for Clark off the back of that line-out mistake.
Line-out, yeah.
That run he did. He did a bit of a 1-2 and drew that defender in and gave that short ball perfectly. Jordy Barrett.
Yeah. Yeah, but Jordy Barrett was running a straight line and Rico was drifting.
Yeah.
And gave it straight to Jordy, which is good to see. He reminded me of Conrad Smith, running straight.
Yep, yep. You know? Fearless, just boom. Look for the hole. That's exactly what you were saying before. We need guys running on angles. No?
Straight lines, mate. Go. Straight lines.
Look at your ghost on there. Fastest way to the try line. As I used to say, Felix, is there anything additional from the All Blacks performance that you're happy with their defense or anything like that? We covered it, mate.
Pretty much, but just like a common theme that we're starting to see with this All Blacks side is just spurts of greatness. Do you know what I mean? We'll have a 15, 20 minute period where we'll just blow these teams apart. It would be quite nice for them to just sustain it for the full 80 minutes like we saw in South Africa. I think those periods are starting to give the coaches a bit of a false sense of confidence or a false sense of security that the stuff that they're working on is working because we get it in small sample sizes. I think maybe they're just going to look back in those periods where they've been a little bit inaccurate and just double down, triple down and all those things, because this is looking like a very spotty All Blacks outfit. And those losses against, you know, here against Argentina, Ireland even, South Africa, they just prove the fact that we're far from the finished product.
Nah. Yeah.
We're real far from the finished product. There's still we don't know our starting 15 besides a few players, you know. You're still having second guess at second five, you know, who's the best second five do we have? We don't know who's our best four. We don't even know who our best 10 or 9 is, you know. Aaron Smith, has he been playing well? I don't know. So it's just a hard thing to. It's like the coaches are just giving, oh, your turn this week. Oh, your turn this week. See how you go, Buzz. It seems like no one's fighting for their positions anymore because it's up for grabs every weekend.
And one thing I forgot to add about the substitutions of the front row in the second half was that's a mess. Like in any sport, that is a massive power play, an aggressive maneuver, which suggests that the coaching box, they've seen enough. They've seen enough from Taukeiaho, Lomax, De Groot. Let's bring on a second set of guys and let's see what they can do. It sort of highlights a little bit of arrogance that the starting crew had done their job. We're gonna close it out with the second unit, and they failed to close it out. So yeah. A lot to work on. I don't know what the answer is.
I reckon Taukeiaho should have stayed out there a bit longer, eh? He's so good with ball in hand, pick and goes, short runs. He always makes meters. And you check Cody Taylor out there, it's like, why? Like, yeah, he can do the same thing sort of a little bit further out wide. I wouldn't call him a power runner, but he's certainly elusive and can put people in holes. But I wouldn't have minded Taukeiaho just out there for maybe 10 or 15 minutes more just to sap that new lot of players that were coming on board, because man, he must take a lot of effort to put down a boys. Player of the match, has it got to be an Argentinian? Are we going with Emiliano Boffel?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, what do we do from here, boys? What is Foster gonna do? If you were Foster, what the hell would you do? I think JK summed it up really nicely, and he's been saying it for a long time. I would start bringing in some of that fresh blood, man. Look what we did with the front row. He made a good point there. We brought in some new, fresh players, and it completely transformed our forward pack, minus the fact that you've got the new coaching setup. But we still haven't seen the likes of a Satutu out there or even Dalton Papali'i. Who else haven't we seen? I pulled up the list before, but I haven't had a chance to look at it. But I'm sure there are other players in that we'd love. Oh, Roger.
Roger that, mate.
Roger. But what do you guys think? If you are Foster, what are you doing? What's your next move? Do you just reinvent your team for the next game? Do you change the tactic? What are you thinking? Do you want to go first, Felix?
You have to, because Sonny mentioned it earlier in the episode. Why continue with something that's not working? Throw the kitchen sink. Blood these new players. Show the world that we do still have the deepest talent pool in the world.
Mm.
RTS, Pedro Feta deserves more than 50 seconds.
Right.
You know, Dalton Papali'i, all these guys, give Ari a break. Like, honestly, if you're going to give Sam Kane a break, give Ari a break too, because his shoulders must be so damn sore from carrying the All Blacks team. He can't do it all by himself. And I'd love to see an entire new loose trio outfit. That'd be awesome. Just the same way they did with the front rows. Personnel is key, and I think we're starting to rebuild somewhat of a new identity with this All Blacks group, and I want to see more guys have a go. Unfortunately, the old guard in the All Blacks camp, and I'm talking specifically of that leadership group, they're just not getting it done, and they haven't been getting it done for a while, so why continue on with this madness?
Nice. Your thoughts, Sonny?
I pretty much same with Felix, man. We obviously need to change the way they approach the game. Learn from what they did wrong, obviously. A lot of it's just the little things, eh? Silly penalties, discipline. Like the one that Lomax tackled Matera in the lineout, they haven't even thrown the ball in, you know, it's just...
Mm. What about Sam Kane? Early off the ball tackle on Pablo?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Like we said, you know, maybe it's time we give some other guys a go and see what they're like. Yeah. Might be nice to get Tupou Vahi to start for once.
Emma's hometown, Hamilton, surely.
Yeah, surely. And I don't know, it just seems like me personally, there's some talent out there wish that was in the All Blacks right now that's playing NPC. So yeah, I've been off the ball, off topic, but Sean Stevenson's been impressing me for the last
flipping year. We're going there, bro.
That guy, he was all I was thinking about on Saturday during the game. Like, bro, Sean Stevenson will be
during the game.
During the game.
Okay. And after the game.
Glad you made
and at night.
After the game. Yeah, I'll watch him.
In the shower.
Sean Stevenson, if you're listening, call me. You're my man crush.
Wow.
You're my man crush.
Oh my God.
But, you know, just need some X factor, something different, eh?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see on Thursday to see the team selected. So, who are you going to bring Who are you going to cut? Is it time for Whakatawa to come and do something different, you know? So,
yeah, let him start.
It'll be exciting. Exciting to watch.
Actually, that'll be a good one because bloody Aaron Smith's running game's disappeared, isn't it? And even that is a threat, attacking threat, will hold up a defender. So it's so easy, man. Anyway, nah. All right, well that sort of wraps that up. I'm pretty sure everybody has the same thoughts as us at the moment. Probably too soon to, you know, start asking that question again. Should Foster still be there? All that crap. I'm over that. We'll move on from there. We'll just get behind the boys, eh? as he's asked. Yeah. So, oh, bless, let's go. So, what does that mean for the Rugby Championship standings? Who would have called this, eh? Argentina sitting in first place on 9 points. Australia in second on 9 points, but Argentina beat them through points differential. And then you've got New Zealand in third and South Africa sitting at the bottom. So, yeah, interesting. A couple of years ago, this would be flipped almost the other way around. we are certainly in different times at the moment, and I'm very excited for Argentina and Australia. Even though I'm an All Blacks fan, just like you guys, I'm a rugby fan at the end of the day, and I'm loving seeing this contest that's happening week in, week out with all these nations. So the talent is just getting better and better and better. All right, boys, just around some other news. I'm sure you've been keeping in touch with Nani Lal Mape. He's been in the media lately, and we've just heard that he signed for the Kobe Steelers in Japan to make that money, money, money. Did you guys catch him on the Waterlad podcast with James Marshall?
No, I haven't yet.
No. He touched on a little bit around his future before signing with Kobe Steelers, and he asked the question, you know, was there any Super Rugby franchise in the mix? And he said there was, but you know what? They were offering him an entry-level contract. Like, how cheeky is that of New Zealand Rugby, eh? I mean, yeah, maybe they're holding a grudge against him for the things he said in the media, but how pathetic is that? Like, for the greater good of our game and somebody we need in the All Blacks right now, a destructive runner like him, you go and do that to him? Of course he's going to look after his family and go make that money in Japan, eh? But
yeah,
that is clear evidence of how disjointed and the NZR is at the moment and disconnected from the players.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the game at the moment, eh? Unbelievable. What do you guys think? Do you think we should have done more? I mean, you're nodding, but you know. Is there anyone like him at the moment?
Union sucks right now, eh? Like, real bad. I think it's time for them to go. Bring
in
someone else.
There needs to be a review.
Shocking. So bad.
But you wonder where all the Silver Lake money's going, yeah? All the millions of dollars. We can't afford to keep someone like Nani Lal Mape, one of the best talents in the world, in New Zealand. All right, we'll just let him go. Fair enough. Frustrating.
He would walk into any other national team, eh? Without question.
Yeah. They talked about him playing for Tonga, but he said that he misses the cut by, I think, 1 month. He misses the cutoff date to qualify for them. Gatere, imagine him with Malakai Fikitoa and Israel Folau. What, Tima Whanganuku. Who else is in there?
Charles.
I can't remember the rest. Oh, Charles Pietau. How did I forget that? Right.
Damn, and they will have Vaia Fifita then.
Yeah.
Bro.
Make it happen. Jeez, I want to see that. I pay good money to see that, eh?
I'll pay great money for that horsepower, mate. Tell you that. 7,000
power. All these man crushes coming out. What do you think about Tuwita Kurbalo throwing his name in the hat for the Wallabies? Think he could have a shout at making that?
Traitor.
Oi, Caleb. Yeah,
I reckon that's good. Is that for me? That's exactly the same as saying that I play for Samoa and I want to play for New Zealand, or you know, I play for New Zealand and I want to play for Samoa. So it's fair point. He's Australian as well, so why not? If you got the chance to, not many people have the chance to go for it.
Bro, his last game for the All Blacks was in 2017. It seems like. Not like yesterday he was playing for the May.
Yeah.
That 5 years has gone real fast, and he's been plying his trade at La Rochelle in France and top footing. But I mean, good on him. Dave Rennie's obviously the coach. They've got a relationship from the Chiefs, I would assume or presume.
Yeah.
Or even I can imagine Dave Rennie probably coached him in under 20s or, you know, that age grade rep stuff growing up. So good shout. But there is a lot of good talent in Australia at the moment. So. And I'm actually
where does he fit?
Well, they're stacked, bro. They're stacked at halfback. They don't need him.
Yeah,
yeah. Dave Rennie's done a great job defending that, though, because he's claimed that in the media, too. He's not just going to throw Tua to Kerbalo in, which I think would have been a silly move from his part in terms of keeping his team trooping forward.
Does he get in over your boy? Does he get in over your boy, Tech McDermott, though?
That's your man crush, bro.
It's that luscious, long, blonde hair.
You talk about him more than you talk about your kids, bro.
Wow, this guy. Okay. let's shuffle along a little bit. Blackburns. Let's just finish on the Blackburns. did you guys catch any of the Blackburns game? They've had a couple of good wins over the Wallaroos lately. First one was in Christchurch a couple of weeks ago, 52-5. And then they followed that up in Adelaide just before the Wallabies game, where they beat them again 22-14. But, boys, this Blackburn side's turned a corner since Wayne Smith and his crew's come in, eh? They are looking
unreal. Unreal, man. Bro, yeah. With that coaching staff, man, you have an excuse not to do well, eh? You got the best coaches ever, in the world. And then you got former players like Dan Carter helping out.
Mm.
Man.
Yeah.
So lucky.
Yeah. I think, this is all they were missing before, because a lot of the players, there is a few new players from that end of year tour. I think it was last year, that horrendous tour where they lost pretty much every game in the Northern Hemisphere. But they just look like they've got so much more direction at the moment. Their strategy is really good. Their forward runners are really strong. Like, they know their strengths. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And they're playing to that tactic. And it's working out great. I mean, Aisha on the wing there. What's her last name?
Yeah.
Fomori's?
Letima.
Man.
Yeah.
She is a powerhouse runner. And she goes looking for the work too, which is great, right? You need players like that with ball in hand. Running the cutter. I mean, Ruby Tui, I mean, she's great on the mic at the end of a game, but even on the pitch, she loves to. That sevens play comes in, eh? And she likes to kick the ball and play around with it and test defenses. They're really exciting to watch at the moment. So I hope you boys are getting on board, eh? Catching a few games here and there.
I'll be watching all their games, eh? Yeah, they've been so good to watch. Just massive change from last year, eh? After that tour till now, they just jumped up three levels. Jonah, another girl from Warriors, Jonah, she's playing awesome at the moment. Man, she's got a try every game.
Is she?
Man, yeah.
She's got one.
Oh, she's a lot. I was going to say, is that Joanna? Is it Joanna?
Jonah Nengwu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. Oh, yeah. That's right. She got player of the match, eh? I think on the weekend she scored one or two tries in that game. Very Ori's crucial girls tries too.
Carrying. Let's go.
Ori's. Yeah. How's that?
So good to watch there. Lovely to watch the women's game. The girls dominating.
Yeah. But it's great because of course this Rugby World Cup or Women's World Cup is on our home soil, so it'd be pretty embarrassing to fall short. On a home World Cup, really home comp. So, let's continue to get them behind the Black Ferns, eh? Because they certainly deserve it. They're putting in the hard yards, the mahi. They're making the necessary improvements, and I'm sure they're gonna make us proud at this World Cup.
Did you see who they brought in for coaching?
Outside of Wayne Smith. I think Mike Cron's working with them. I think they got Steve Hansen's daughter. I can't remember her name. And Steve Hansen. Yeah. So they've got an epic coaching crew.
And Graham Henry,
Oh, and Graham Henry, jeez. Yes.
Wow, like Dan stacked, Carter.
DC.
Bro.
Surely, yeah. But there's no excuses after that, eh? Is that proof of concept that if you get the coaching set up right? Any team can be great.
Pretty much.
Just quietly.
The old coach has got it, eh? Damn it. I wish I had those friends.
yeah.
I wish they were my friend.
Shucks. All right, boys. Is there anything else we need to add onto this pod? Any urgent news that we haven't covered, Felix?
Nah.
It's on it.
Nah, but excited to watch the game in Hamilton this weekend. Yeah. Looking forward to.
Oh. Thanks for the reminder. Prediction. Are we going for All Blacks or Pumas? Why did we not even think about that? Boys, I'm going to stick with the All Blacks. I'm going to get in behind them, mate. I'm going to support them. Back the boys. Oosh. Are you
All Blacks,
you concur?
I concur. All Blacks by two, mate.
Ooh. What do you think?
All Blacks by two.
Oof. I've got them by like two tries at least. Yeah, this is an angry All Black side. Yeah. And I hope the changes make a huge impact on this game. Let's go.
All Blacks by 12.
What was your call? Ooh, All Blacks by 12. What did you say to me on Saturday? Where's the faith? Are you with me?
They got the attacking line out, bro. It was good chat until Cody Taylor missed that throw, man. I was so gutted.
Nah, sweet boys. I think we should wrap it up there, eh? Thanks for joining us tonight and bringing in the good chat. Please don't forget to follow us on our social media channels on Facebook. Just search us up, Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast, or on TikTok, where we've got some great video content on there. Felix is hopefully going to drop some videos soon of us hand delivering some merch that was purchased by some of our biggest fans here in Wellington, aka some of our friends. it's good time. So yeah, keep following the podcast, keep sharing, and make sure you give us some feedback. We want to know, what do you want to hear from us? Oh, sweet as. All right, have a good night, everybody, and we'll see you on the next one.